Good morning. Happy New Year. Happy 2021. I'm already starting off. Oh man, I've got a typographical error on the outline. Note to self, don't get dressed. Turn the light on while getting dressed. I just swore these brown socks were gray when I was getting dressed, but not starting the year off very good. Anyway, couple of announcements. One, we've got some visitors with us that we're very glad that you're taking time out of your schedule to worship God with us. We hope that you find everything being done in spirit and in truth. We also have an announcement that Narissa Thomas, who worships up at the Bright Angel Congregation, is starting a ladies' Bible study this coming Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Any of the women that are interested are more than welcome to attend. It will be at 10 o'clock up at Bright Angel. And if you need some more information, see Sean Driscoll. And just wanted the ladies to know that you're more than welcome to attend that. When you walked in, you saw some lovely framed pictures in the foyer. Want to thank our brother Rob over there, Rob Anderson. He donated those. He's a professional photographer, and some of his works are come from all over the world, and he wanted to donate those to us. They have a religious theme and scriptures with them, and we thank Rob for that. We greatly appreciated it. It made a kind of a dull foyer pretty lively. So anyway, let's get into our lesson today. Let me turn this on. We're going to start looking at today things needed in every congregation. We have a very transient society. People move, they come, they go. I bet you, unless you were baptized in this congregation, you've probably attended a few different congregations in your life. And this is probably not going to be the last congregation that you will attend. And these are some things that I hope that make sense to you, that you can put in the back of your mind, to where any congregation you worship in, I hope these things are being done. And you as a Christian have the responsibility that if they're not being done, to speak up. Even though you might be one little voice, these are things, like the screen says, these are some must-haves. They're not up for negotiation. Amen. They're not our opinion. They are out of the Bible. And these are in no special order. One of the things that we will look at today that every congregation needs is the attitude, it is the Lord's church. Amen. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. I look at some of the congregations I have worshiped in the last 45 years, and there have been some individuals that did not have this attitude. I am thinking of a brother right now that had a dispute with the elders, and because he was one of the people that was greatly responsible for building the structure of the congregation, his big battle cry was, I know where every bent nail in this building is. He thought that he carried more weight, that it was kind of his congregation. Well, the congregation at that location, just like this one, is a congregation of the Lord's church that was started on the day of Pentecost. Amen. And we need to remember whether we are maybe responsible for helping start a congregation, whether we physically bring our hammer and nails and help build a congregation. I know it is someday, hopefully down the road, we will have our own building. But that building is going to be a congregation of the Lord's church. Regardless of who pays for it, regardless of who swings the hammer. Okay? Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus himself says, after Peter's great confession that you are the Christ, Jesus responds and he says, and I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock, that great confession that he was the Christ, on this rock I will build my church. Not my churches. My church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. There's a lot of lessons in that one verse. We sometimes wring our hands and, oh my, woe is me. What's happening in this world? You know, the forces of evil are getting... The gates of Hades are not going to prevail against the Lord's church. It may be we might have to adapt as Christians, and we might have to alter the way we go about worshiping, but the church will prevail. In Acts 2:47, we see that the people were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. We don't join the church. We don't sign up. We don't buy a membership card, a 2-for-1. We don't get a decoder ring. Nothing like that. The Lord adds us to the church. In Acts 5, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord. Not to Paul, not to Apollos, not to Peter. Added to the Lord. Multitudes of both men and women. Another factor that has to be in every congregation is sound leadership. God designed for every congregation to have elders. That is something we're working on. Hopefully someday we will have elders. But I put up there sound leadership. Whether it's elders or the men, like it is now, they have to be sound. Without sound leadership, everything else runs askew. This is my observation only. Maybe yours, but when I look back over the decades of some of the problems that congregations have had, every one of them that I've noticed has been due to unsound leadership. Improper leadership. Individuals might go astray. With sound leadership, they might be able to correct that. We see in Titus, Paul giving Titus the commands to establish elders. And he says in chapter 1, verse 5, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking." and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. I look at that. For this reason, I left you in Las Vegas, that you go to South Valley and appoint elders the things that are lacking. That's the one thing we are lacking here at this congregation. Until then, the men will continue sound leadership until we get those things that are lacking. Elders. We will not compromise God's principles and try to squeeze a round peg in a square hole just to get elders. We will have proper elders. Acts 20 and verse 28. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. That is an awesome responsibility. Leadership is not somebody that gets to spout orders. It is an awesome responsibility to shepherd the flock as overseers for God. The Apostle Peter understood that concept. In 1 Peter 5, and I'd left off the 5 on the outline. I could live with the brown socks. I hate the typographical errors on the outline. You don't know how many times I looked that over, and I missed it. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. Peter says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed." What an awesome responsibility Peter has. Not only is he an apostle, but he is also an elder. Not all the apostles were elders. Not every elder in the first century was an apostle. Not every Christian is an elder. But every elder has to be a very sound Christian. And he's saying, I am a fellow elder. I know. He's got the credibility. When he's telling them that I exhort you elders, I know what you do. Because I'm a fellow elder. And he goes on to say, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. How does Peter tell them to be proper elders? By being a proper example. They have to be a bigger servant. And the last one we're going to look at today is sound preaching. If you've got sound leadership, if this is ever taking place, it will be nipped in the bud. With proper leadership, this will never take place. Sound leadership will always ensure sound preaching. Amen. In Matthew 7, verse 15, Jesus himself says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Now, for every false prophet there is, there may be a different motivating factor. And I may not know what false teachers
prophets, the false prophets' motives are. They may be, as Peter said, for dishonest gain. It may be because they don't know any better. Maybe that's the way they were taught. Maybe they sincerely believe the false teachings that they're expounding on. That doesn't excuse it, but that might be their motivating factor. It might be for power. I have known some preachers that didn't want elders. Why? I think that's obvious. Because it's their show. They get the say-so. They make the decisions, even though they themselves weren't qualified elders. They don't want elders because they would have to give up power. Trust me, I want elders. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know, not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling." That's one thing of Paul I can understand. "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." If your faith is in men, you will sorely get disappointed sometime down the line. I don't have to worry about my speech or my persuasive words if I stick to what the Bible says. Amen. And our scripture reading this morning from 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul tells Timothy, he says, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." A good preacher should be able to preach himself out of a job, if that makes sense. If I dropped dead right now, or rather, maybe if God just took me up. Let's go with that. Dropping dead sounds too negative. But if all of a sudden I'm not here, the Word of God would still be preached. Every Sunday. There are denominations out there that don't want that. They want the people, the members, to be dependent upon them. Don't even need to bring your Bible. Don't need to read your Bible. I will tell you everything you need to know. That's not what Paul says. Timothy, you teach people exactly the way you've been taught by me, and you teach them to be able to teach others. This was in the first century. That message is still being conducted every week. It has somehow got us to salvation for 2,000 years in the running. And our last scripture this morning, it's a scripture that I read every Sunday before I get up here. James 3:1, James says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." We're going to receive a stricter judgment, one, by God, for the things that are taught. We're also going to receive a stricter judgment from those hearing to make sure our message matches up with our lifestyle. And we also receive a stricter judgment from ourselves. As critical as people can be, I guarantee I'm more critical of myself than anybody else. Maybe not of God. But we will end here today. We will look at number 4, 5, and 6 later. But these are some things I would like for you to just tuck back in the back of your mind, and wherever life takes you, make sure these things are being done in the congregation that you worship in. Amen. If you need to respond to the invitation today, if you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent of sin, if you have not put on your Lord in baptism, if you have heard the word of the Lord, believe it. You need to confess that belief to others. Repent of your sins, be baptized, and you are then in Christ. And then you have the responsibility to remain faithful the rest of your life. Whatever your need, please come forward while Don leads us in the invitation. Let's stand.